Hi, Katie.
Howdy. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing really well.
Good. I'm so glad. Listen, the last time I talked to you, I was just reading again about the concert at the Fox Theater. Was it 3 years ago now?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Greg Allman and friends, and we talked backstage. Yeah. And yep. I grew up in Atlanta. My first album I ever bought was Eat a Peach, and I have seen the Allman Brothers Band probably 30 times in my life and interviewed Greg just as many times. So I am a big lover of this music, and I know you are too. Tell me about your first memories about the Allman Brothers.
I first saw the Allman Brothers in, I think it was like February of 1971. They played at the Easttown Theater in Detroit, Michigan. I was 19. It was right before they, it was the same tour where they ultimately made that Live at the Fillmore record. And I was blown away by the guitar work and everything, but it was really like, I was this little blonde kid getting that sound. How does he sing like he's 60 years old?
I know.
So I was, I was knocked out by him from day one. I didn't meet him until almost 20 years later. I met him in the early 90s, and we are both pretty blurry about those occasions.
I know that. What was that occasion? What was the...
Yeah, a couple of them. I don't know. One time we ended up, we were at some awards show at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, and we played backup for Brian Wilson. And I got no idea why we were there. What the award was, but I know that was the first time I met him.
Oh my gosh. And for Brian Wilson, of all people, I know you've done a lot of work for him with. Wow.
Yeah.
And
then it was a trip.
It had to be. It had to be. When you really got to know him was not that long ago, right? Am I right?
It's all within the last 8 years, I'd say. We ended up doing a lot of live stuff together leading up to that Alma Friends show.
That show, where does that stand in the plethora of things that you've done? It has to be, it was such an extraordinary place to be for us.
The Alma Friends show is probably one of the top three greatest days of my life. I love that gig so much. Just speaking as a bass player, to be able to play those songs, it's like right down my alley, Even though they're considered a southern band, to me it was very much the same thing that I grew up listening to in Detroit, which is this rock and roll that's rooted in R&B. And Barry Oakley's original bass parts are, it's R&B. It's soul music inspired.
Absolutely.
So I felt like, I was born to play these songs. So I loved it just as a musician. But then the warm feeling that everybody, all this really diverse group of musicians all coming together just simply because they love this guy. So it was an incredible experience. That's also where I found out that he wasn't going to be around for very long.
Really?
I inadvertently overheard a conversation, in fact, and that's how I knew. So that put a whole other emotional layer on top of it. About a week before, he'd been doing interviews to set up the show. He probably did one with you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And he did something in a small local newspaper somewhere. And I was reading the piece. In the article, he announced that he was going to be making a new album called Southern Blood in Muscle Shoals, and I was going to be producing it. And that's how I found out I was producing his next record. I read about it in the newspaper.
Oh.
And then I saw him a week later. He said, oh yeah, I hope you're cool with that. Yeah, of course I'm cool with that. I've been waiting all my life for that call, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And so you, by being a fly on the wall somehow, were aware, did he ever tell you, or was that, you knew at the Fox Theater?
He never told me, and we never openly discussed it, but it was implied in him talking about what his vision was for the album. And we spent about a year and a half sending each other songs, possible songs to do on the record. And after a while, I would see what registered with him and what didn't. And it was pretty clear that he was tying up the loose ends of his life, I think, for himself and also for his fans, that he was making an extremely crafted farewell statement. But it went, we didn't talk about it. I think part of it, I don't think he talked about it really with anybody, including himself. I think the reason he lasted 3.5 years longer than the doctor said he would was that he refused to die. He wanted to keep playing as long as he could, and he defied the prognosis for a long time.
I just talked to Michael and Galadriel last week, and when they were saying that how much he loved his fans and being on the road, I thought, because we were at the funeral, Melissa Ruggieri, who you talked to, I think, from the AJC,
yes.
She and I went to the funeral in Macon, and they couldn't even stop the people from just coming in to the cemetery. It was such an unusual, beautiful service, mm-hmm. because yeah. they allowed everybody to be that close. And mm-hmm. they said that they knew that's what he would have wanted. And I, yep. over the years, can remember times. I remember one time leaving one of his shows, and I kind of went out through the back door, and he was on the back steps talking to a group of people that were just fans. And he was as wrapped up in what they had to say to him and what he was saying back to them. And I thought, this is a freaking superstar, and he will allow himself to be touched by anybody and everybody.
I think that's when he felt alive, you know. I mean, I think that he's got, there are a couple songs that discuss that. I think certainly the one, My Only True Friend on the album, is really about how he felt whole and complete when he was standing on stage playing for his fans, and how the rest of his life was just kind of waiting for the next gig to come around so he could get that feeling again. It's not uncommon among great musicians. There comes a point where you're not doing it to put food on the table anymore. You're doing it because that's what you do, and that's the thing that makes you feel good. I sent him the Little Feat song, Willin', which I know he had performed before, but he just reminded me of the truck driver, you know? Get me high and get me to the thing. I'll play all night.
Go in the back road so I wouldn't get laid.
Yep.
Don, that's funny, because that's one of my favorite songs in the whole wide world, and I asked Galadriel about that, and they didn't know where that came from. Now, that doesn't surprise me that that song came from you.
Yeah, no, I suggested it. I could hear him singing it, but nothing on this album is there for a cavalier reason. You know, it's there because it's part of what he wanted to say as he made his exit. I think that if you think of him like that truck driver, but just instead he's riding the bus to the gigs, that's great.
It's priceless. And that song, My Only True Friend, it is a remarkable song. Were you there during the writing process at all for that, or was that?
Well, he was fine-tuning it right up. And in fact, even after we cut it, you know, he did most of his vocals were live. In fact, all of them, you know, had live vocals, and many of them, the keeper vocal is the live vocal. But in that particular song, he later in the week, we went back and did a few more passes, mainly because he was adjusting lyrics right up until the end.
Oh, wow. What surprised me is that's the opening song on the album, but his voice is so strong.
Yeah. He sounded great. You know, there are a couple where he sounds weary when they're a little quieter, like the Tim Buckley song and Jackson Brown song.
But, yes.
But no, he's in great shape. The end of Going, Going, Gone is like as strong as anything he's ever done, I think.
I don't know why I feel like, and it had to be partly what you were doing here, but it shows off his voice so well that you realize what an extraordinary singer he really is. He does, especially when he was singing with Jackson Brown, their harmonies are so on, just so perfect. But also,
you can't tell who's who, right?
Yes, and then he was doing such remarkable things with his voice, that these little gymnastic things that I didn't even know he had, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, a large part of it is staying out of his way, not covering it up. We'd rehearsed. We spent about a year and a half looking for songs and going through. So we knew what the material was going to be. We'd gone to Atlanta and rehearsed for 3-4 days with the whole band. You know, so we had a sense of, we knew what key, we knew what the tempos were, and we knew that everyone wasn't supposed to play from the beginning and that we're going to leave space. But leaving space for his vocal was the primary goal of the production, you know, was to make sure that you could hear every nuance, every turn of the phrase that he had, because you don't want to bury that.
Right.
So it's pretty, for the most part, it's pretty stripped away. It's a pretty basic record, really. We try to never overpower him and to make sure that, you know, with a guy like Greg, or I'm thinking other, you know, like Willie Nelson's another example of a guy who all the truth lies in the way they end the phrase, and where they take a breath is as important as the loudest note. And you want people to hear all those nuances to fully feel what's going on.
Well, you definitely can. I mean, and you are, I mean, you must pinch yourself sometimes, because here you did grow up in one of the greatest rock and roll cities in the world, but also just the people that trust you to have you work with them.
Yeah, no. If I think about it, I get all choked up. I've been incredibly lucky and fortunate.
Were you friends with Warren Zevon at all, or did you know him?
I knew him, yeah.
Because that last album of his will just knocks me over with a feather, and this kind of reminds me of that.
There are really only a handful of guys who've had the knowledge of that they were reaching the end of the road and still had the wherewithal to write about it and sing about it and prepare something like this.
It's extraordinary. It's a real gift to us. I'll tell you, I loved your liner notes. I loved reading what you had to say because you pretty much told the story in your words with the song titles. And I think that everybody, I hope, gets a chance to read that. I should post that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.